Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
Two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 948 days, 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 17 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. My God, somebody, please shake me and wake me up. Tell me it's over. What the hell is going to be next? We don't know. But you know it's going to be something. I mean, you can just feel it. I mean, it's one right after another. I mean, it's rapid fire, man. It's on automatic. My God. And once we finally end this, either through impeachment, which is the responsible, intelligent thing to do at this point, the only thing to do at this point, if we're going to save the country, we have to do it. Why? Well, look, we have to set a precedence. I can't say the right word, but you know what the hell I'm talking about. You never listened to this show before? Yes, I'm sorry, but I do suffer from a chronic broken left-handed tongue, and there's not really a whole hell of a lot I can do about it. I try my best, but, you know, what are you going to do? But if we are going to survive as a supposed free country where you're free, where you have a document such as, well, let me just pull one off, you know, off the shelf here. And we'll call this one the United States Constitution. That's what we're going to call this one. Let's just say that you have one. I've got one. I'm holding it in my hand. Right here. The government hasn't confiscated it yet. They're looking for it, but they cannot have it. They're doing everything they can to destroy the meaning of everything in this document, though. I mean, before you get to the Bill of Rights, before you get to the body, before you get to the rest of the amendments, before you get to anything, what this government has been doing for far too long, and now Obama just put it in overdrive. He hyperspaced it. God only knows where we are. I don't know. This administration has been blatant, has been obvious, has been nonstop, has been unapologetic. And then when they do get caught red-handed, well, they blame it on this and blame it on that, and it's always somebody else's fault. Bush is now responsible for what's going on in Iraq. Well, I mean, one, you could argue. Now, the way we went into Iraq and the way we went into Afghanistan, I mean, look. Fine, you could go back and forth, and you could argue forever on why we're there, how we're there, what we did when we got there, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, somebody has to stand up and say, you know what? Let's stop screwing around with what the hell we did. Stop dreaming about what we want to do. Let's do what we can and do it right now before we get to the future. This, obviously, whatever it is that we're doing isn't working, so let's do something that does. And whatever does work, you keep doing it until the job is done. Well, the job may have been, well, I mean, on paper, done. You can do anything on paper and have it done. And that's exactly what happened. The war was not over. The mission was not complete. And we left. Did we put up a fight? No. Should we have? Well, I mean, hindsight is 20/20. I do remember when we got out. God and everybody was saying this is gonna blow up. This is gonna blow up. Don't do it. Don't do it. But what did we do? Well, we did it. And that is one of Hillary's accomplishments. Did you know that? Well, according to Josh Earnest, the new press secretary. Jay Carney's still doing it. He leaves here in a couple of days, I guess. Who knows? Who gives a damn? I mean, you're not going to get what you think you're supposed to get anyway. And if you do get anything, it's unbelievable. You can't believe anything that comes out of their mouth. And that State Department, those State Department spin secretaries, whatever you call them, that's what I call them. They're not spokespeople. They're spins people. They're just there to spin it. Well, you know, what's the point? Because then you get the media, they take it, and then they spin it. And then the idiot who reads these stupid columns, because they don't have enough to know that it's spin, they spin it. And then they tell their stupid little friends at the goddamn coffee shops. They're emailing everybody, and they got their cell phones and their laptops, and I mean, they're all hooked up. I mean, they're wired for sound, man. Why can't people sit down and actually have a conversation with somebody, you know, looking at people in the eyes? You can't. I know, I'm rap crap too. But, I mean, come on, I don't walk around, I don't leave the house with that stupid cell phone. Unless I absolutely have to have it, I've got a conversation that I have and I'm on the road. Fine, I keep it in my pocket, but I don't walk around and I certainly, if I'm going to have a conversation, if you're in the stupid market, You're walking around. You're supposed to be shopping for groceries. And you got a big old cart. You got a whiny little brat that's in there. Opening up the packages of cookies and throwing them all over the store. You're more concerned with your stupid conversation. And speaking of cookies, there's no reason why, first of all, you should be getting any cookies anyway. Little baby shouldn't be eating cookies, but, I mean, you can feed your baby any damn thing you want to. It's your baby. But judging by the size of your ass, that's the last thing you need, sweetheart, is another cookie. Go to the produce department and buy some lettuce. But they're walking around, and they're spending more damn time on that stupid cell phone. And I'm interested in your conversation. Really? I'm glad. Thank you for inviting me into your conversation. I'm 7 friggin' aisles down, and I can still hear you. I'm not interested in your stupid conversation. I'm not impressed, first of all, that you are so important that you have to have a conversation in the stupid market. You're buying cookies. Shut up. I don't do that. I don't like having private conversations in public. You know what I mean? I mean, what's the point of having a private conversation if you're in public? It's like, why do they call it Alcoholics Anonymous when everybody has to stand up and give their name? I mean, whatever. How the hell did we get here? Freaking believable. I know I was somewhere where the Constitution was because I got the Constitution in my hand still. Unbelievable. This is one of those evenings. I don't even know what day it is. I think it's Monday. I do know that Junior lost the race last night. I mean, he came in, what, I think 3rd or 4th or 7th, 9th. He came in something. He was in the top 10. That's good. That's all right. He can win the next one. Jimmy Johnson won it. That's good. I love sports, man. So I try to do absolutely nothing on Sunday. I try to take the day off, but, you know, you can't. You're watching all this crap in those Sunday morning puke shows. For the love of God, you know, why bother? I mean, I tried to watch 60 Minutes. You know, I was kind of bored. Nothing was really going on. The car race was over. I'm, you know, doing this. I ate a little something. And I said, well, let me watch this stupid 60 Minutes. And I haven't watched these, you know, shows in a long time. And, you know, every once in a while they got stuff, you know. So, you know, I figured it'd be a lot more current. Even though I liked the story, but the problem was, and this goes in. I know I haven't even started yet, but that's all right. Let's just go with it. All of this stuff, that just like this, I know I lost my train of thought, but I'm going to get to it. What this president does, and it just seems like the people in the media, they're trying to go along with this and try to get the American people behind it. There are still some people behind it, but there are a lot of people that are like, why is there not an outrage here? Everything that's going on in this world, not just the country. I mean, the world is burning. And our president is golfing in Palm Springs after he does a fundraiser. And then he goes to the University of California, Irvine, to give a speech. You know, these stupid commencement speeches. Okay, fine. Fine, fine, fine. There are times when the president, let's just say, for example, that one, that Al-Qaeda is not taking over Iraq. Radical Islam is not infiltrating the world. Let's just say that they're not in Australia. They're not all over Europe. They're not in the United Kingdom, changing their culture for them. Which we got a story in here somewhere in here. God only knows where it is. It's about that very thing right here in the United States, and this is how it starts. They want you to change your way of life for them. No. This is our country, our way of life. Now, that's fine. You want to come over here and be an American, and you want to still live your life the way you used to live it in your old country. All right. All right. But don't you dare try to force that out on us. We're not trying to force anything on you. We're inviting you into our country. This is what we do. Now, you don't like it, you don't have to participate. You don't have to do it. But you don't have to make us change our way of laws because it offends you. We like pork in America. We like bacon. I love bacon. I love pork. I love pig. Pig is good to eat. A lot of animals are good. Cows are good. Pigs are good. You don't like the pig? Don't eat it. Hey, look, look at all the Jews that live in this country. They get along just fine with not eating pig. They go to Chinese restaurants all the time. They're always cooking. They got all kinds of pork in there, but they don't order the pork, but they eat everything else. It's all mixed up in there. They're eating pork, and they don't even know it. They don't give a damn. Not concerned that you don't like, you don't want to smell pork, you don't want to, you know, eat pork or even think pork, well then you're going to have to find some place where, you know, there's no people, there's no pigs. We don't change our way of life for anybody. I don't care what country you come over from. If you're coming over from Mexico and we're supposed to kowtow to you and not wear an American flag to school because it might offend you on Cinco de Mayo, which is not a holiday. It's a beer drinking day. We don't change our way of life for anybody. We don't give up rights and liberties and freedoms for terrorists. No. We stand up to terrorism. We don't give in to terrorism. But what are we doing? Well, we do, can't do that. We might upset them. And then if they upset them, then they, you know, they're going to kill one of us, you know, and then it's your fault because you said something. It's your fault that you made a spoof video. It wasn't meant to be, you know, anything other than just a spoof. Now, you are blamed for the lives of Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, Tyrone Woods, Glenn Doherty, and all of the hundreds of injuries, all of the other deaths that we haven't found out yet because they were top secret CIA personnel that weren't supposed to be there trying to get back weapons that they allowed getting into their hands in the first place. Which doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why they would want to try to get them back. I mean, what are they, does this administration think? And why would this ambassador, this Chris Stevens, I don't know anything about him, but why would he go along with this unless maybe he was in on the deal to begin with? I mean, maybe, I have no idea. But in any event, you don't go right up to the parents of these people, and you don't pronounce to the not only the United States, but the world. But you're going to go out, you're going to get this video guy for making this video that caused all this ruckus when it was them who did it. Now, I know you could never try these people for murder, but you can definitely charge them with incompetence, and you've got to impeach them. Hillary Clinton shouldn't even be able to run. She skates jail again. God only knows what she did as Secretary of State. We still don't know her whereabouts. Where was the Secretary of State when all this was going on? Well, I guess she didn't have to do very much because Valerie was in charge. But who was in charge before Valerie? You had about at least 2.5 hours from the time the president got the news before Valerie Goebbels showed up. So what happened within that 2.5 hours? Who was in charge? What was going on? Well, the guys on the ground were fighting for their lives. The ambassador was getting raped. There were people in Tripoli and other places loading up the planes thinking, oh, well, we're going to go. I mean, that's the military's, you know, first reaction. Well, you hear news like that, well, you're going to go. Somebody's got to go. That's why you're there. You know, you're going to go. So they load up and, you know, waiting and sitting there waiting. And then, you know, I guess they requested to go and then somebody said no. Well, that must have been Valerie. Who was it? Was it within that 2.5 hours from the time the president found out? Did the president have a conversation with somebody before he ate? After he ate? Before he got on the phone with Netanyahu to kiss and make up for 2 hours? I mean, I could understand, you know, you're 14, 15 years old, you know, you're the captain of the football team. She's, you know, the head cheerleader. You're the greatest couple in the world. You're all in love. I can see spending 2 hours on the stupid phone kissing and making up. But two grown men kissing and making up over because our president decided to diss the president of Israel, leave him standing there with his Jimmy in his hand. And he goes up and eats. He's always got to go eat. What is the deal with this president and eating? Every time you turn around, this guy's got to eat. My God, what is he eating? I mean, he's a beanpole. What the hell is he eating? I guess, you know, he's probably starving because Michelle won't let him eat anything other than tofu and cardboard. I mean, who the hell knows? But, man, I mean, this guy's got to take some kind of initiative in his job. Does he understand what a president does? Does he understand? Does he know where the Oval Office is other than to go there to take pictures? When was the last time? Look at all the pictures. When was the last time he's had a picture in the Oval Office? Oh, that's right, with Putin. He's got his mom jeans on, and he's got his foot again on the desk, standing up. Yeah, you look real presidential. You look like you're really, you know, you're really working the problem. You're solving the problems, fixing all the issues of the world. Thank God for Hillary coming on your staff. She brought back, you know, world leadership, because there was no leadership in the world until your Secretary of State, Hillary Hitman Clinton, showed up. I mean, who the hell does this woman think that she is? Who does she think she's talking to? Obviously, she thinks that nobody's going to hear this other than her little base. I thought she was the smartest, you know, creature on earth. That's what I thought, according to the news. Every time you turned on the television. And then when they got into office, oh, my God, that's all you ever heard about how smart and intelligent and during the campaign. And I'm thinking to myself, what? What makes this woman so smart and intelligent? They started this crap early on. I honestly, God, did not think that Clinton was going to win. I mean, we just got done, you know, whooping Saddam's ass and everything is going good, you know, everything is good. I know I was in the car business at the time. Everything seemed to be going good, and boom, 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 and all the, you know, and that stupid, what the hell is his name, Ross Perot. It would not surprise me a bit if the Clintons didn't make damn sure that he got in the race. That's the only way they won. You add up Bush's and Ross Perot's, which the people that voted for Ross Perot would have voted for George Bush. At least the overwhelming vast majority of them. So Bill Clinton really shouldn't have won. And what did he do really as president? Well, the economy was, well, it wasn't his. It was, you know, unfortunately, Newt Gingrich's. And the economy really wasn't all that. It was on paper. It was a number shuffle. It was, I mean, it just, it was, you know, then you get done and boom. Yeah, he left office with a deficit. Don't give me the surplus crap. Oh, a surplus. Yeah, because you put it on paper, it's a surplus. All right, I can put on a paper. How about if I go up to my bank and say, hey, bank, give me a piece of paper here. I'm going to put a surplus in my bank account. Ah, there's my surplus. Now, I want to make a withdrawal. Yeah, that'll go over well. But our children now are being kidnapped by the DCF and held indefinitely until they decide. Well, they've already decided, but nothing's happened. You see, they haven't got to court yet, and they got to review it again. Somebody's got to wake the judge up. What is this judge doing? Who is this guy? Does he understand does he understand the case? And if he does, why isn't this already resolved? We don't know. And then once we get Justina Pelletier home, what are we going to do with all the other thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of children that are just like her? What about them? When are they going to be saved? Well, we'll never know, I guess, until somebody stands up and starts doing something about it. Look at all the people that's going on in this government that literally, I mean, if you were to go strictly by the law, I don't think there would be one politician. There might be a handful, but the rest of them would have to go to jail. Massachusetts, what that governor has done by ignoring the situation, and he could have solved the situation. He could have solved it. She could have been home. But he was trying to cover his DCF's ass. Why? Kidnapping children? Blaming their parents for medical neglect because they tried to get as much medical attention for their daughter as possible? And then you take them and you throw them in a room by themselves, lock them up, and give them no medical attention? And the governor wants to cover this up? And you got a judge who now just, he gave an order? Yeah, the girl can go home. Yeah, you can go home. But what happened? Well, she didn't. So you think the judge would be upset? Why didn't you send this girl home when I told you to? No. He says, okay, I see. No problem. You can keep her.
Dungeon!
Yeah. That's exactly where she went. So they're kidnapping our kids. Our vets still have yet to see a doctor. We know we've got all the problems. We know that it's systemic, but why do these vets still not have a doctor? Well, somebody might have to do something. And if we get them a doctor, then somebody's going to have to admit that they made a mistake. And if they do that, then, you know, they're not going to get their bonus. Plus, it's not in my job description. Nobody told me to get him a doctor. We know that they need one, but nobody told me to, you know, get him one. How about you, Mr. President? Don't you think that you could, like, you've got a pen? You got a phone. Can't you call somebody? Can't you write an executive order that if you're a vet and you don't have a doctor, you do now? Can't you do that with your pen? Huh? How about that Marine we got there in Mexico? Can you do something for him? Huh? Oh, that's right. He's not a deserter. The Taliban, you know, they don't want you. We got no more Taliban left. We freed them all. So who, you know, we got nobody to trade for you. We let out all the other Mexicans that were over here illegally. that were rapists and child molesters and murderers. Plus, you went over there with guns, and you had guns. And according to Dianne Feinstein, well, you're mentally ill. Yeah, she said it. All vets are mentally ill. That's the way it is. They're all mentally ill because they have guns, and they were in war, and they shoot people. So when they get out of war, they must not even look at a gun. When they come home, they should not be allowed to have guns. But she can have machine guns. That's okay for her. So our vets, still to this day, how long has this been in the news? It's been in how many months now? Still do not have a doctor. Illegal aliens and terrorist detainees, they got doctors. Sure. Oh, the Taliban 5? Oh, yeah. They had the best medical care you can think of. The vets? No. No. How about all the people that used to have medical care, but now they don't? And those that do, it's so expensive, they can barely afford it, and the doctor is a million miles away. Then when they go to the doctor, well, the computer doesn't have them in there, and they're screwed. Then once they finally get the paperwork squared away, guess what? Well, you got cancer. Well, the good news is we can give you chemotherapy and fix that cancer. However, the bad news is Obamacare don't cover it. Nobody should go bankrupt for having a precondition. Well, that's true. Okay, I'll agree with that. I think most people can agree with that. But what did you do to your people? Now, you can get a free abortion, but you can't get chemotherapy. What's more important, you think, an abortion or chemotherapy? Well, I'm going to go ahead and say chemotherapy, because that's me. I'm a crazy guy. I'm a crazy man. I'm a crazy person, just a crazy freak. The vets still do not have a doctor. Our borders now are being overrun by illegal immigrants. They're coming in from everywhere. You know for a fact that they're not just Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico. God only knows who's put on a ship and then put on a raft and sail off into Mexico and start, you know, walking the trail and going up. So easy to get into the United States now. How in the hell is that, providing a common defense? Mr. President, you should be impeached just for that. The very first sentence of our Constitution, you could be impeached several times just in the preamble. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. Really, destroying our quality of life by taking all the jobs away. By forcing people into Obamacare that gives you no doctors and no medical care and costs too much. And those that were able to afford insurance, well, they're just going to take your job. They'll fix you. They'll learn you. Show you, damn it. They'll wipe out the whole industry. You'll never get a job anywhere. Yeah, but how are we supposed to get electricity to burn our Prius? Well, you're going to need a lot of money. You got to be important. You got to win an election. See, if you win an election, well, then you're important. Then you can have rights, you know. Then you can have freedoms and liberties. But if you didn't win an election, well, you know, you got to make sure you vote Democrat. And you must do everything that they tell you to do. And if you don't, well, we got to remove you from society. Put you in a work camp. So our borders now overrun with illegal immigrants. Now most of the children And guess who's coming over here? The Border Patrol is overwhelmed, and there's nothing they can do but allow these gang members, these cartel members to just cross the border, and they can't do anything about it. If the Border Patrol really cared about really the border, they'd have to go on, at this point, I think they should go on strike and say, we're not doing anything. And why the hell are they changing diapers? Wrong. Wrong. I'm Border Patrol agent. You want me to go change diapers and milk these babies? No. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that I don't want to feed these kids, but no. At some point, we're going to have to stand up and say, no, we don't do, no. When are we going to say no? If we never say no, then the answer is always going to be yes. And then what's going to happen? What are we going to do with all these people? Where are they going to go? Well, they're going to go straight to citizenship and then straight to a voting booth. That's where they're going to go. Right straight to a voting booth. And guess who they're going to vote for? Wouldn't be me. Our Attorney General, still in contempt of Congress, whatever that means. I thought being in contempt of Congress should be at least a little bit something like being in contempt of court, you would think, right? You think it would be a big deal? I mean, contempt of Congress. I mean, just the sound of it scares the hell out of you. But evidently, it don't mean very much. If that contempt charge has to go through the Department of Justice. Now, why would Congress, knowing this, put this man in contempt of Congress and put it through the Justice Department? Who's the head of the Justice Department? Well, the person they want held in contempt of Congress. If you're in contempt of Congress, you're in contempt of Congress. Not in contempt of the Justice Department. You see what I'm saying? So if you are going to be in contempt of Congress, why is Congress not allowed then to administer the punishment? Well, they can, but we've got a Speaker of the House that, you know, he's too busy smoking and then crying and then in the tanning booth. He can't be bothered with all this. Plus, you know, he's in on most of this crap anyway. He might as well be a Democrat, all of them. Look, I'm sorry, but we need to be, if we're going to be the Republican Party, if the Republican Party really, really wants to, build their base, first of all, the Republican Party's got to be genuine. What is the Republican Party? And then stick to it. Don't try to be like a Democrat. Don't try to be like, and don't try to befriend all these people so they vote for you. Be yourself. There's nothing wrong with the Republican Party being for the Constitution and sticking to it, sticking to its values. The reasons, for the document even being drafted, even being thought of. There's reasons for everything in that document. But see, they don't teach the history anymore. You know, the history, it's racist. Back then, they had slavery. So everything a white person did was racist. Even though there were a lot of slaves, yeah. But the majority of the white people didn't have slaves. They couldn't afford them. They were expensive. I'm not minimizing. There was a lot of slaves. Don't get me wrong. you know, we finally figured out a way to end it, and it cost them, well, cost a lot of lives. And we've come a long way. We don't have that anymore. But there's slavery still to this day, the countries that they came from. There's still slavery all over Africa. What, are you kidding me? There's slavery all over the world. There's slavery everywhere. Well, we've got an attorney general. He's still in contempt of Congress. God only knows what that means. An IRS chief now. She's in contempt. But see, that charge goes right up, you know, the Justice Department again. And since, you know, the Attorney General and Lois Lerner, they're good buddies. They've known each other for a long time. They're probably good friends. They have lunch, and, you know. So her contempt charge is going to sit right next to his, collecting dust. And now we can't find her emails, all the important emails. Well, there are ways, and it's already been said. I can't remember who said it. I seen it, heard it, read it, something. But it's backed up on this server, that server, so it's a bunch of crap. So they can get it. Plus the NSA. I'm pretty sure the NSA's got it. So there's ways to get it. They tried to being slick by erasing them. Well, maybe you shouldn't have written them. Obviously, this goes to the White House, which we all knew it. Now there's even more proof that this IRS scandal originated from the White House. If it didn't originate from the White House, well, the White House definitely got involved in it. Hey, that's a great idea, Lois. Wow, you keep going like this and we're going to promote you. Yeah. They were all in on it. Whether who came up with the idea or not, I don't know. I don't give a damn. They were all in on it, so as far as I'm concerned, they all came up with it. They all should be impeached. And why Lois Lerner still drawing a pension? Those very people that she targeted and are still being targeted today are paying her pension. That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Now we've got radical Islam. Not only is it taking over Iraq, but they're taking over the Middle East, lopping heads off all along the way, shooting people. Anybody see those pictures and videos? I mean, they're just killing. They killed God knows how many of those Iraqi soldiers. They're going door to door in Kenya. If you don't speak Sunni or Somali, and if you're not a this Muslim or a that Muslim, they shoot you right there at the door. Shoot all the men right there at the door, right there, boom. Lady was saying, yeah, my husband, he asked if he spoke Somali. He said no, and boom, they just shot him. Look, this radical Islam. This is not just a Middle East problem, not just a problem with the United States. These guys are in Russia. They're in Australia. They're in Europe. They're all over the United Kingdom. They're in Canada. They're all over the United States. God knows how many of them are coming over here now that the president opened up the borders. Come on in. Our Border Patrol won't arrest you, and if they do, we'll fire them for racism. This is a world problem, and the only way to solve it is, you know, we're going to have to create an anti-jihad world commando squadron, which means we're going to have to get everybody on planet freaking Earth to get together and put a bunch of troops. We're going to have to go out there, and I'm sorry, the only way we're going to put an end to it is to kill them. can't sit down and have a civil conversation with these people. What are you, nuts?
Oh, let's just have a civil conversation. They'll come around. Oh, we just need to be compassionate. Be understanding.
No. No. They don't understand that. They don't want that. They're going to fight to the death. They're going to go out there to kill you. The only way to end them is to end them. Look, you got a bunch of ants in your house. You got a bunch of termites. What's the only way to get rid of them? You can't sit down and have a civil conversation with them.
Oh, please, Mr. Termite, please stop eating my house. Please, come on outside. Look, I got a stick. Come on, eat this. Come on.
No, you got to kill them. I'm sorry, but they're insects. They're spreading a disease. And they're forcing these people, if you're the right, I guess, the right Muslim sect, to be in this army. And if you're not, well, then you just get a bullet in your head. Or you just get your head chopped off. They like chopping heads off. I don't know what the hell the deal is with that. It seems like a little messy. What do you do with the rest of the body? Why you got to make such a mess? You know, you're going to kill somebody, kill them and get it over with. But, you know, you don't have to be so sloppy about it. Get blood and chopping heads off and dismembering people. I don't understand it. Why would you want to do that? I mean, it's bad enough that you got to kill them, but you got to just start hacking them up into pieces now? I don't know. But we've got radical Islam now taking over the world. We still have 92 million people and growing out of work in this country. And that number's only going to get bigger once all these EPA rules finally all the way kick in. There goes your coal industry. Well, it was nice knowing you. I tell you. That electricity, remember we used to have electricity? You'd come home and you'd turn the lights on. You go in the living room, turn the TV on. You got your electric clock, you know. Go into the kitchen there and open up your refrigerator, which is electric. Get out a nice cold beer, maybe something to eat. Electricity everywhere. Well, those days are going to go away. And if you can get it, you won't be able to afford it. We're going to be the largest third world country in the world. For what? No, we're America. We prosper. That's part of our founding, is to prosper. We were limited. We weren't allowed to prosper. We weren't allowed to grow and become free. That's why we went to war. We're now free. We want to prosper. We want things. We like to have things. Why? Well, we're human. It makes us feel good. There's nothing wrong with it. And because you don't have it means that you've got to take it away from someone that does. Well, why don't you go out and try to find a way to get one? Why do you got to take it away from me? Because you're too fat and lazy to go out and earn it yourself? Oh, that's right. Kim Kardashian was on. You couldn't get off the couch. I see. All right. But with all of that, the 92 million people out of work, radical Islam taking over the world, Iraq is burning. IRS chief erases all of her emails. She's in contempt with the attorney general. The borders are being overrun with God knows who is really coming over. How many of them are really coming over? There's no way to count. And they're stuck in rooms, stuck in places, stuck. Military bases, they got places where they're just stuck, crammed in rooms. And the Border Patrol has to change their diapers. The Border Patrol needs to go on strike. Say, uh-uh. No, this is not. No, they're all going back. They're going back tonight. They're crossing the border. We're not letting anybody more over. No more. Dump them back in. Let Mexico deal with it. Hey, they let them cross their border. So they were in Mexico before they were in our country. They came from El Salvador, Guatemala, and the rest of them, and Mexico, and you let them cross all the way up. So that's your problem. I'm sorry, Mexico. You can't say they're not yours. They are yours. You let them come through your country all the way into ours. You didn't stop them. You drove them there, probably. Of course, you know, probably cost them a lot of money. But you allowed them to go through your country. They're your problem. I say ship them all right back across the border. Let Mexico deal with it. And while they're at it, we want our Marine back. Oh, you're not going to give them up? Okay, well, you're going to see the rest of our Marines tomorrow morning. How about that? That's what needs to happen. Do we got a president that will do that? No. But he'll gladly give up the Taliban 5 for a deserter. He'll do that. Oh, yeah. He can do that. He can do that on the golf course. He's got a phone. He can just, you know, call and order it, like ordering a pizza. Yeah, I'll take 5 Talibans and a side of deserter. Jesus, God almighty. Are children being kidnapped by the DCF? The vets still do not have a doctor. And where was our president this weekend? Think he was in the Oval Office with his mom jeans and his foot on the desk doing his job, working? On his phone? With his pen? No, he was golfing. That's right, golfing. This man is either eating or golfing. Well, when he wasn't golfing, he was holding a fundraiser. And then a speech at the University of California, Irvine. First of all, Mr. President, I know it's the weekend, and I know you only work Monday through Friday, you know, 9 to 5, you know, like anybody else. You know, we understand. And then you get a lot of time off. We understand. And you don't like working weekends. And this is a perfect time to you need that fundraiser. You need that money. You got to win these elections. You're bringing, you know, you're not bringing all these illegal aliens over here for nothing now. You need that money to, well, you know, feed them and get them on the right track, get somebody who can speak Spanish and you know, inform them that when they go into the voting booth that they vote for a Democrat. You know, you got to teach them that. All that stuff costs money. Advertisements on the TVs and the radio, all that stuff, it costs money. And these midterm elections, that's the most important thing. And they're going to go out and give a speech. Most important thing that's going on here right now is the Democrats win the midterms. But not that we have 92 million people out of work. Radical Islam has not only taken over Iraq, but the world. Losing emails that implicate you, the president, into criminal activity with the IRS, fast and furious, you and your attorney general, you're allowing these borders to just be overrun by God and everybody. Anybody could cross a border. We don't know who's coming over. And these vets still do not have a doctor, and you're still... The DCF is still allowed to kidnap children, and they're getting federal funds. This is a federal matter. Yeah, they work in the states, but the states are getting federal money. and Big Big Pharmaceutical. My God, they're making this Big Pharma is making. I mean, you talk about the oil industry. You talk about the oil industry. They're forcing kids to take Ritalin and this and that and all these drugs. And they're getting these psychiatrists and these psychologists. We're just right out of script. Yeah, just turn that in there, yeah. And they get a little kickback. The more prescriptions they write out, well, they get a little kickback. They got all their patients on drugs. And then when the patient gets off of them, well, they, you know, they go buy a bunch of guns and wipe out a school. I'm sorry, but these mass shootings and all this stuff and these crazy people, it has a direct link to those Prozac, all that antidepressant crap. Mothers drowning their children in the bathtub. She was on all this antidepressant crap. Look, not every problem can be solved with a drug. Especially when it comes to the mind and the brain. Those problems need to be, you need to do that from within you. You're the only one who can fix the problem. The drug can't fix it. It'll give you an artificial fix it. And as soon as you run out of the drugs, well, your brain doesn't know how to operate on its own. It used to, but it doesn't anymore. It needs the drug. If it doesn't have a drug, well, then it, you know, short circuits and boom, you blow springs and gaskets and everything else. But with everything going on in the world, everything going on in the country, going to hell, and this man wants to golf and give a speech. Well, this speech, first of all, commencement addresses, they're really not that important. There is no reason why the President of the United States, with everything going on, not only in the United States, but in the world, there is no reason why this President is anywhere near California. The only place this President should be is in the White House. Preferably somewhere near the Oval Office, maybe a Situation Room here and there. But he should be in Washington, D.C., and he should be working. There's a lot of work to be done. And then if he's going to give a speech, if you're going to go out of your way to give a speech, this is what drives me nuts. If it's so important for you, the President of the United States, so important for you to load up Air Force One, get all the security, get all of this, get all of that, bring all of the team over there days in advance to scope out the situation. You got to fly across country. It's so important for you to give a speech at a college graduation. If it's so important for you to give that speech, it's a must. It's an absolute must. If you're going to even mention climate change, which you shouldn't in your speech, there's no reason for turning this into a political speech at a graduation, a commencement speech, which, first of all, anybody can give those speeches. And look, the graduates don't give a damn. They're like, just get off the freaking stage. I want my diploma. I want to get the hell out of here. I want to go to a party. Your speech is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's boring. I don't care. Again, if you necessarily, you have to be there. You have to give a speech. If you can't come up with anything better than climate change to discuss in your speech, you have nothing to say. Nothing. Who writes these speeches, and why would you turn it political? And why would you come out and make the change again? That these climate deniers, you can't deny science. Well, who is? It seems to me that you are, Mr. President, and your so-called scientists. Well, they're making a pretty good living off the American taxpayer. See, that's how they make a living. They get their grants. So they write up a grant and they say, yeah, I want to write this book about man-made climate change, and I'm going to put in a chart here that will show that, you know, the planet's going to melt in 10 years if we don't lock up the Koch brothers. Blah, 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 blah. So they get a grant. They're making money off the taxpayer to come up with bogus science. It's not science. And you're going to take this opportunity in front of an audience, the whole audience, in front of the whole school graduating, and turn this into a political speech. This is not a fundraiser. This is not a campaign. Okay, you are there to, you know, let them know, hey, look, you graduated, you know, there's a lot to look forward to, there's a lot of mistakes you're going to be making, and, you know, you're going to pull through it, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. No. He wants to talk about climate change. Well, he can't talk about their future, because he hasn't given them one. He's taken their future away. So he can't talk about all the fun times they're going to have with their job and raising kids, you know, moving out of the house, having that boat, having all this fun stuff. He can't talk about that. So the only thing he can talk about is to blame the right, the Republicans, Bushes, the Koch brothers, the Tea Party. Blame them for denying science when the science doesn't suggest at all that there is anything called man-made global warming. And yeah, it is getting cooler. I guess the numbers don't lie unless they benefit the Democrats. And then, yeah, then the numbers are good. But if they don't benefit the Democrats, well, those numbers, they can't be true. But if they benefit us, well, that's got to be good. It's got to be true. So this is your president. When the world is burning, Iraq is blowing up, heads are literally rolling in Iraq, literally. Heads are being chopped off and rolled and kicked. People are being shot. These are kids, man. These are young men. A lot of them are teenagers. Most of them in their 20s. These are babies. They're killing them. Along the way, all through, they've come through Syria. They're going down through Iraq. This radical Islam is being... wants to be taken over all over. They want to control the world. Well, they're gaining a lot of ground. And if you think for one second that there ain't something in the works, as soon as that Taliban 5 got out of jail, you knew they were working on something big. And they've been gaining ground for a long time. And they've been able to watch the news. Why would a detainee be allowed to watch the news? Why would the detainee be allowed to watch television? They're all wrapped up into the World Cup. Oh, yeah, they all love it. No. You are a prisoner. You are a terrorist. You don't get television. And, yeah, you get pork at every meal. You don't like it? Well, then don't eat. We don't care. You are a prisoner. you are a terrorist. You should have been shot on the battlefield, but you weren't. Personally, I don't understand why we shouldn't have waterboarded the hell out of them, got everything we could out of them. Every ounce of intelligence out of these people, once we got it, boom, that's it. We try them in a military tribunal. Screw that, going to court, they don't get a lawyer. You try them for the crimes that they've committed, and they either get death or they get life in prison. There ain't no nothing else. And there is no excuse whatsoever why this Taliban 5 was even available to be traded in the first damn place. They shouldn't be alive to be traded. They should have been tried, convicted, and hung. But they weren't. Obama likes them. He wanted to keep them around. Yeah, they were, you know. But this is your president. The world is burning. The economy in the United States is in the tank. Nobody's got a doctor, whether you got Obamacare or you're a vet. The border is wide open. As many bad people as you want can just cross on over, and Mexico's allowing it. And this is the president of the United States with all this stuff going on. This is him. In the University of California at Irvine.
Part of what's unique about climate change, though, is the nature of some of the opposition to action. It's pretty rare that you'll encounter somebody who says the problem you're trying to solve simply doesn't exist. When President Kennedy set us on a course for the moon, there were a number of people who made a serious case that it wouldn't be worth it. It was going to be too expensive. It was going to be too hard. It would take too long. But nobody ignored the science.
What?
I don't remember anybody saying that the moon wasn't there or that it was made of cheese.
What?
Today's Congress, though, is full of folks who stubbornly and automatically reject the scientific evidence about climate change. They will tell you it is a hoax or a fad.
It is.
One member of Congress actually says the world is cooling.
It is.
There was one member of Congress who mentioned a theory involving dinosaur flatulence, which I won't get into, but...
Your brain is
their view
flatulence.
May be wrong and a fairly serious threat to everybody's future, but...
Does he have a point?
At least they have the brass to say what they actually think. There's some who also duck the question. They say, when they're asked about climate change, they say, hey, look, I'm not a scientist.
How long does this go
on? I'll translate that for you. What that really means is, I know that man-made climate change really is happening, but if I admit it, I'll be run out of town by a radical fringe that thinks climate science is a liberal plot, so I'm not going to admit it.
What the hell? This is why this president, that speech right there, that was just part of his speech. That right there was so important. He needed to load up Air Force One. Get all the Secret Service to fly over there days in advance, check it out, make sure they get good and drunk, pass out in the hallways, make sure they order up a whole bunch of hookers, and then don't pay them. Make sure they're ready to go to work. This is why it cost, I don't know how many millions of dollars it just cost the American taxpayer. To have this president go give this cockamamie speech about climate change. Blaming Republicans for being deniers. Oh, you're a denier. No, you're an idiot. Speaking of idiots, get on the phone here. What are you doing?
Yeah, hey. Listen, Balls, I appreciate your call this morning. You're an idiot. That's all I got from you. Anyway,
no, that's all I
what's
said.
What's going on tonight? I know. What's going on tonight?
Oh, Obama, your buddy here. I mean, the world is burning. Iraq is blowing up. We've got drug cartels moving in. Vets still don't have a doctor. They're still kidnapping our kids. The IRS loses emails. Our attorney general, he's still in contempt for giving weapons to the Mexican drug cartels. We still don't know what to happen with all the weapons that Al-Qaeda got, when that's what happened with Benghazi. Radical Islam's all over the world, 92 million people out of work, and our president is golfing. And when he's not golfing, guess what he's doing? Well, he's giving a speech. And he's talking about climate change. This is what he goes across the country. Goes from Washington to California to give a speech on climate change. This is you. You are Obama. This is yours.
Listen, I don't understand your problem here.
What do you mean, you don't understand my problem?
Of course I do, you deep.
Well, look. You voted for him. This is your candidate.
This is your guy. Hey, you campaigned for him, though.
You are Obama.
Yeah.
I never campaigned for this guy. I can't believe this guy. I cannot.
You
cannot
for
believe
him. You voted for him. He's yours now.
But these vets still do not have.
They're in pain, man. They're in pain. I'm with them. I feel for them.
The IRS is losing emails. This guy is golfing? This guy is golfing?
Listen, I've got zero faith. Guy, he doesn't belong where he is. He should have never made it there in the first place. He should be back to kindergarten teaching.
Hey, man. This Islam crap, man, this jihad, all this, yeah. this stuff is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, man. This stuff ain't going away. It's all over, Kurt, it's all over England, it's all over Australia, it's all over Canada, it's all over the United States, it's all over Russia,
that's the
Asia. Well, this is a world problem, man, and it's going to take a world to fix it. We're going to need a big battle, man. And there's only one way to put an end to him. You got to kill him. You can't talk to him. You can't put him in jail.
I'm in.
You gotta wipe him out, man.
I'm in.
So what's going on with you?
How was your weekend? I don't know. I did zero yesterday. It was beautiful. I'm sitting in a room. I'm away from home, so I got nothing to do. So I sit in a room all day and read books. It was fun.
Well,
unlike you, I can read.
I watched the car race. It was a good race. It was a good day. I like to do very little as possible. I tried watching the Sunday morning puke shows. They ended up just making me nauseous. I couldn't watch them anymore.
Stupid.
Went on a bike ride. We had a nice day today, so maybe we might get a summer, but I don't know. So.
Yeah, ours is coming. We just don't have it yet. It rained all morning, and now it's sunny, and then it's going to get cloudy here pretty soon again, too. I don't know. We don't know. It's global warming. Call Gore. He knows. Ask him the weather.
Oh, yeah. Well, Obama, according to you, you're a climate denier. You're denying the science. So.
I have yet to see it.
Well,
there's
global warming, I don't know where the hell it is in New York. It left town.
The book I'm reading, I don't have the name. I'm not gonna advertise for him. I believe it's Greenland. Nova Scotia. It snows more there every year than the ice melts. So, you know, tell me where it's going. What's going on?
Well, I don't know. The polar bears are all dying. The world is melting.
Because I'm killing them.
It's Bush's fault. It's the Koch brothers' fault. It's the Tea Party's fault. It's all the white man's fault.
But it's global warming in Nova Scotia. Why is it snowing more every year? It's building up higher and higher.
Because it's global warming.
Ice is melting.
It's global warming.
It's backwards. They got it wrong, is my point.
No. It's because it warms up and it takes what should be cold and it turns it into snow. It's global warming. And if it rains, it's global warming because it should be, you know, snow. And if it's sunshine, then, well, it's global warming because it, you know, it should be, you know, it shouldn't be hot. So it's all global warming. So here's something else too. Here's something.
You'll make me hot.
It'll make you hot. No, listen to me. Did you know that the Taliban are not terrorists?
According, don't even say it.
Yep.
In
San Francisco.
Oh, she's a great place to start.
Well, first of all, your girlfriend, Nancy Pelosi, who, I mean, just the mere thought of this woman just makes the air stupid.
Yeah,
this woman is
go on again
an idiot.
I understand. So go on.
Well, she has a counterpart there in San Francisco, you know, in certain areas. Well, this woman's name, I've never heard of her before. Her name is Jackie Spear or Spire or something like that. Spearer, I don't know. Well, she's an idiot. And she's just as stupid as Nancy Pelosi. Well, I'm going to play a clip here. She was on with, I don't know what show it is. But I just want to get your take on this. Listen to this. You don't know nothing from nothing. Just listen to this. If you're going to listen to this, you're going to tune on your TV. Let's just say you're at home. Just sitting here, you know, you got your bag of Cheetos and you got your remote control and Kim Kardashian's off. So you start channel surfing. And this woman comes on. All right, this woman comes on, and this is the TV show that you tune into.
And
shut
the
up.
The U.S. learned the location an hour before the pickup. So before I get your reaction to House Speaker John Boehner, can you confirm that? Was that a part of the briefing last night?
No, I can't confirm that. But let me underscore the term terrorist. The Taliban is part of the fabric of Afghanistan. They were part of the leadership of that country before we engaged there. We are now actively attempting to get the Taliban to negotiate with President Karzai and the Afghanistani government, because there will be some cooperation, some level of coordination between the two if that country is going to survive and move forward. So to say that they are terrorists at this point is not necessarily accurate. Let me also say...
Yeah.
There you are, right there.
Okay, well, listen, just stop. I'm just gonna give you a scenario real quick. Elementary school. I'm a bully. I beat up this kid. Okay? We're taken into the principal's office. I'm not declared a bully, and we negotiate. I can't go on the east side of the playground from now on when he's there. Is that going to stop me?
What is your point? No, I don't.
Oh, you're... All right. Here's the thing. We're going to negotiate with... with the Afghanistans, the terrorists are going to negotiate. So is that really going to stop them, is my point. I'm sure somebody
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but are you talking about what's going on in Iraq? They want to have the three different sectors?
I just heard her saying that the negotiations with the Taliban will continue with the Afghan government.
There is no real negotiations. It's a bunch of BS. The part that should have sparked you was that to call the Taliban terrorists is not accurate. That's
again was my point. If you heard it correctly, if somebody was a bully, they weren't considered a bully. They just, you know, were misunderstood, so they can't go to the east side of the playground anymore. And that's pretty much what it is. It's elementary.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. It has nothing to do with this clip that I play.
Well, your people do, because they're smarter than you are.
This was about the woman says that the Taliban are not terrorists. There's nothing to do with those freaking bullies.
What do you think a terrorist is?
They are bullies. Our government is a bully.
There you go. Okay, somebody got it out there. Call me if you got it, all right?
Yeah.
You better give out my phone number. Anyways, I got to get going.
All right. I got work to do.
Well, have a good show.
All right. See you later. I don't know what the hell that was about. Anyway, that's right there, Mr. Jackie Spire, Spear, whatever the hell your stupid name is. That's right. The Taliban, they're not terrorists. They're just the fabric of Afghanistan. But that was created in what? When were they actually created? I don't know if they were around in the 80s with the Russians, or if it was in like the early, mid-90s, something. But not exactly a fabric. You're an idiot. Why are you speaking? Why are you a member of Congress if you don't have any better intelligence than that? You're an idiot. And why would you say that? Why would you even make that point? What does that have to do with anything? I don't know. Why would you even waste your time getting and I watched a lot of other stuff that she did. I said, well, let me find out who this chick is. And I went on YouTube and I just one stupid thing after another with this woman. Why are these people being elected? How can there be that many people that are actually dumber than them that would go to the voting booth to vote for them? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't get it. But yet here they are, and they keep getting reelected and reelected and reelected and reelected. Why? I don't know. They're terrorists. Miss Spire, Spear, whatever your stupid name is. And terrorism is terrorism is terrorism is terrorism. There's no fabric. What does that mean? Well, they're a fabric of Afghanistan. Oh, okay. So that's okay. They got the right to, you know, behead people and beat women in the streets for showing, you know, their ankle. Showing that ankle just put a very, very bad thought into my mind. Now I've got to rape you. Now that's your fault for showing me your ankle, arousing me, stopping me from controlling my urges, having to rape you. Now you must be stoned. If you hadn't have shown me that ankle, I wouldn't have got aroused. I wouldn't have had to rape you. So it's your fault. This is their thinking. Did you happen to study anything, Miss Jackie Spear? Do you even know who you're talking about? Do you know what a Taliban is? You're an idiot. Doesn't matter what the country they came from. Doesn't matter the name of the group. They got all kinds of groups. Doesn't matter the reason why they are what they are. Well, that's irrelevant. Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, Hamas, ISIS, all of them, they got the same goal. Kill the infidel and inflict Sharia law. That's it. That's their goal. Doesn't matter what their name is. And now you got this ISIS leader. He's saying to the United States, soon we will be in direct confrontation. Of course they are. They're ready to go. There's something big brewing. They've been brewing for a long time. And the rest of these countries ain't safe either. England, you ain't safe. Australia, you ain't safe. Russia, you ain't safe. We've seen what they've done in Russia. Canada? No. You ain't safe. America? No, you're not safe. How can you be? God only knows who's coming over here. God only knows who's already made it here. God only knows where these people are now. And God only knows what they're going to do next. This president should be immediately removed for simply opening up the border the way he's done this. And these kids coming over here being told, oh, yeah, you're going to have a great life. Oh, yeah, boom, boom, boom. You're stuck in this room with diseases, no food, no nothing. This is not a humanitarian crisis. This is a political strategy move. And you're using these immigrants, these people, as your pawns, as you move them around the board. A few of them die, that's okay. You still got more coming over. No problem. They're expendable. Well, the leader of the Islamic State of Iraq, ISIS, Iraq and Syria, issued a rare audio message back in January in which he flatly stated the group's intention to march on Baghdad and to move into direct confrontation with the United States. Well, yeah. Taliban 5 is out of jail. Maybe they're all going to connect together. Maybe you're going to get all these Al-Qaedas together, all these big groups, and maybe they're, boom, one big giant attack. Well, again, I keep stressing that this is a world problem. It takes a world to fix it. And we're going to need the world to fix it. Period. Our last message, this is what he says. This is the leader of the ISIS. This guy's a bad dude, man. And he was locked in jail, too, by the way. He was a detainee. Our last message is to the Americans. Soon we will be in direct confrontation, and the sons of Islam have prepared for such a day. So watch. For we are with you watching. Yeah, they are. They watched for a long time for 9/11, and they finally pulled it off. Well, you can only imagine that after 9/11, this one's going to be much bigger. Wasn't 9/11 big enough? I think it was. I'm going to go ahead and say it was big enough. Too big. Mr. President, you're going to have to wake up here. If you think for one second that Al-Qaeda is on the run, well, they might be. They're running to the east, they're running to the west, they're running to the north, they're running to the south, and they're beheading people along the way. If you're not one of them, you're dead. Now, you don't need troops on the ground. You could do something. You got your damn drones. Get your drones wherever they're marching. Shoot them. Kill them. But we're going to need the world involved in this. This is a world problem. These people are going to come to you next. They're not afraid to stop. It doesn't matter what the name is. It doesn't matter who they are. Hamas, Al-Qaeda, this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they are geographically. What matters is they have one goal in mind, and that is to kill the infidel and inflict Sharia law, period. That's it. Mr. President, we've got to put an end to this, unless maybe that's what you want. Do you want Sharia? You think Michelle Obama's going to like having to wear one of those burqas all day? I wouldn't mind if she wore one of those all day, at least cover up her ugly face. That'd be nice. When the White House Foreign Affairs Committee held a hearing on February 5th of Al-Qaeda's resurgence in Iraq, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Iran and Iraq, Brett McGurk, presented written testimony explaining the agenda of ISIS and discussed Baghdadi's audio message. I guess that's how you pronounce the name, Baghdadi. Baghdadi. I guess Baghdadi. I don't know. I can't pronounce these stupid names, and it doesn't really matter. He's ahead of this ISIS. He's a creep. He's a terrorist. He's a bad dude. Somebody's got to wipe him out. All of them. So So this Brett McGurk, he put in written testimony and discussed about this leader, about his audio message that he sent to the Americans. Their focus is an aim to carve out Islamic caliphate stretching from Baghdad to Lebanon. Well, they want it worldwide. That's why they're in damn near every country on planet Earth. And whatever country they're in, they've got to kowtow to them. They've got to change their entire way of life for them. ISIS, he goes on to say, has also made its intentions clear. Move from a new base of operations in Fallujah to Baghdad, a distance of under 30 miles. McGurk said in his written testimony, quoting the terror leader, be in the front lines against the Shia and march toward Baghdad in the south. Keep the Shia busy in their own areas. Know that the entire Sunni population and the brothers in Syria are watching you. Well, you can believe that this is one thing. You can believe it's something else. You can take it as smoke. Well, at this point, I think we need to take these people serious. Mr. President, if you don't want to send troops, we understand, but we got to send bombs. We got to send drones. We got to send something, because these people don't get wiped out now. It's going to be much more difficult to wipe them out later. And if they completely take over Iraq, wow. They can go pretty much anywhere then. They can go back up into Syria. They can take Syria. They can take them all. Iran won't let them, so there's going to be a big civil war. The Middle East is nothing more than just a war zone. That entire Middle East is tribal. Personally, I say, look, here, Putin, you want to be in charge of the Middle East? Here's the frickin' keys. Take them. You're done. I'm gone. We don't need their stinking oil anymore. We got to do something, though, with Israel, though. That's another thing. Israel's in a bad place. If you could pick Israel up and, like, move it, a whole, you know, whole other side of the globe, they might be in a safe place. I mean, for Israel, who, why they haven't been wiped off the planet yet, I don't know. Every country that surrounds Israel hates them. That whole region. Israel's a tiny little sliver compared to that entire Middle East. I don't know. But this is the only thing I know, again, this is a world problem that's going to take the world to fix it. Not just the United States, but everybody. Africa, Middle East, Asia, Australia, Europe, Canada, U.S. Everybody. And now you got Kenya, Obama's home country, going door to door now. Somali militants, 48 people in Kenya village, going door to door. Hey, do you speak Somali? No. Boom, you get shot in the head. If you weren't Muslim, you got shot in the head. My husband told them they were Christians and they shot him in the head. They don't care who you are. You understand there, Miss Spire, Miss Spear, whatever your stupid name is? Just because they don't say Al-Qaeda doesn't mean they're not terrorists. They're radical Islamists. Taliban, this, that, they're all the same. Why people try to play semantic little games, I don't know, and why these people would think that people out there would be dumb enough to believe them. The world is safer now. much safer now. It's the safest time. No, there's no problem going on in the world. Oh, it's safe. Everybody's fed. There's no hunger. It's cleaner. Thanks to me, I showed up. Oh, yeah. But according to him, now there's climate change. It's, what is it? Is it all unicorns and rainbows, or, you know, is it fire and devastation? What 1 minute everything is rosy, and now he goes to California, and the world is melting, and the Koch brothers and the Tea Party, they're rejecting science. Why? Who cares? Why would you bring that up at a commencement speech in the first place? What does that have to do with these kids graduating from college and don't have a future because you took all their jobs away from them? Why is our president even there? Don't we have an advisor? Excuse me, Mr. President. We know you love these fundraisers and, you know, these, you know, commencement speeches and all, but you know what? The world is on fire. We've got over 92 million people that are out of work. The veterans still don't have a doctor. The DCF is still kidnapping kids. Lois Lerner is in contempt. The Attorney General is in contempt. Thank God we wiped out the emails. Oh, except they're on a hard drive in some server somewhere, which they can be retrieved. So we've got a lot going on here, Mr. President, so you're going to have to put this little vacation, and that's what it was. He wanted to go golfing. And since he can't golf there in Washington, D.C. without everybody knowing about it, well, we'll just have a little package here. We'll have a fundraiser. We'll have a commencement speech, and in between that, well, since we're here, might as well golf. Palm Springs and Irvine, California are a ways away from each other. You should be in the White House. You should be doing your job. And in your home country, they're going door to door. I mean, does this guy understand the magnitude of this? Do Democrats? I don't think Democrats. Even Ellen. She's bitching, pissing, and moaning about this hotel guy wants to put that Sharia law in where they stone homosexuals. I don't think she knows who these people really are. I think the only thing she knows is, well, they found out this one group is going to stone a homosexual. So she went nuclear. I don't think these people quite understand who these people are. Democrats don't seem to understand who these people are. They want to befriend them. I guess this is how you work out your differences. You befriend your enemy. These people, the only reason why they're procreating is so they can have babies to grow up big enough to kill you. Thirty gunmen is believed to be the members of a Somali terror group called Al-Shabaab. We've all heard of them before. I wonder if Ms. Spear thinks that they're not terrorists. Well, they're a fabric of Kenya. They're not a terrorist. Arrived in the town in minibuses at 8 p.m. yesterday before bursting into residents and shooting dead any man they thought was not a Muslim. Well, you're not a Muslim. Okay, boom. And these Democrats think that we need to show them compassion and understanding. And these are people in Guantanamo Bay. And we need to make sure that they, you know, they don't have any pork. We got prayer time. They got all the right meals cooked a certain way. And they got all, no. You eat what we give you to eat. And if you don't, well, then you go hungry. We don't care. We don't care if you live or die. If it were up to us, we would poison you, but we can't. If it were up to us, we'd hang you. We'd cut your head off like you do to your, to us. But see, we can't. We're civilized people. We can be civilized and still hold these people in prison. Look, if they're in Guantanamo to begin with, as far as I'm concerned, if you're there, you're a, you know, you're an enemy. Now, if they're just a foot soldier, just got trapped in and kidnapped this and that, okay, fine. I can see letting some of them, but these other guys, no. These leaders and these people, these really, no. We know who the bad guys are. They should never see the light of day. I still can't believe that these people were even available to be traded. Why were they alive? I don't know. Well, this is how bold and brazen that these radicals have now become. We've heard of stories in Europe where they don't like the smell of pork, and so the deli guy, he's got a, you know, he can't cook pork, can't cook bacon because it offends a Muslim. Well, where was this, the pig farmer? I can't remember where the hell that was at. I got that story somewhere. I don't have it in here tonight. I don't know where the hell it is. But so now he, on Friday, they want to build a mosque. Well, since this guy's a pig farmer, they told him to move his pigs because you're going to offend, you know, the people going to the mosque. No. This guy's been here for I don't know how long, and you want to build a mosque? Okay, well, you're going to have to put up with the pigs, or you're going to have to put your mosque up somewhere else. You don't tell somebody, you don't move in and tell somebody, yeah, I'm going to build a mosque, and we don't like pigs, so you're going to have to move your pigs. Wait a minute. I've been here my whole life. Go to hell. So this guy, good for him, instead of kowtowing to these idiots, he holds pig races every Friday when they do their prayers. So, you know, good for him. Now, yeah, I'm not saying there's going to be any, you know, kind of confrontation between the two, but we've got to do this everywhere. Look, we're Americans. This is our country. This is not theirs. And if you want to come over here and you want to be an American, okay, well, that's fine. But you need to understand that I'm not going to change my way of life for you. I'm not going to give up any of my rights and liberties and freedoms for you, for anybody. If I go to your country, I can't demand that you do things my way. And if you don't, that offends me. Now the person who's lived in this country his whole life, now he's got to be fined and got to be imprisoned. Person who just moved here a week ago? Don't think so. So good for that guy. Well, and now in, this is in Dearborn, Michigan, which, you know, I've been all over Dearborn and Detroit. I fell in love with that area. I really did. Yeah, even though early 90s, mid-90s, Detroit, yeah, there was bad areas in Detroit. There's always going to be. But I just loved that area. I really did. And I came so close to moving there working for Ford. I just loved that whole area. I just fell in love with it. Why? I don't know. I just did. But during a public comment time in a Dearborn City Council meeting, Muslim stands up. God, could you speak tonight? Stands up and demands that the city institute Sharia patrols. He wants Sharia patrolling the city. This is how this stuff starts, man. They started out in a little bit here, a little bit there. Start out with one. One person stands up and starts making a to-do. And the next time, there's going to be a whole bunch of them. They're going to come out making a to-do, and they're going to keep getting, they're just going to keep going and going and going. Until somebody finally just gives up and says, okay, you win. No. No, you do not win. We win. But not them. No, we're not going to have any Sharia. So shut up. And you don't like it? Move out of the town. But he wants Sharia patrols to keep young people out of parks. Because they're kissing. And to prevent the sale of offensive magazines. It's like Playboy. The man named Hassan, that's his name, took his place in line during the public comments, and when it was his turn to speak, he began with loud chanting of Islamic prayers. Okay, that's fine. You can pray. But if you're going to come to a public meeting, we don't do that. We don't pray at a public meeting. We pray at the very beginning to start it. Once we're done, we're done. But you got something to say, you come out and you say it. He demanded that the city begin patrols of the parks because it was used for sexual activities. But see, these guys, they don't mind raping men. They don't mind doing that. That's okay, but you can't be a homosexual. Otherwise, you get stoned. But they can go ahead and rape other men, I guess, if you rape them in war, everything's, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand these people. I don't understand anything anymore. I certainly don't understand this government. I don't know what side this government's on. I know what side I'm on. I know that. But my government? No. I don't know. Well, anyway, long story short, the town said no. We're not going to have any Sharia patrols. He wanted the libraries to be, he didn't like the books in the library. He didn't want people, after dark, girls weren't allowed to do this. He wanted people, they want Sharia. This is their goal. You either become Sharia compliant, become a Muslim, or you must die. There is no gray area. There is no tolerance with these people. There is no negotiating with these people. There is no talking to these people. The only way to put an end to these people, you got to kill them. Unfortunately, it sucks. They're not going to listen to reason. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, you're right. And now they have, in certain countries, this is another thing. They've got these terrorist, not deprogramming camps, but rehabilitation camps. I read that and I just want, you've got to be, come on. And I can't remember where they have them. I think they've got them in Qatar and they've got them different places. They're taking terrorists and putting them in rehabilitation camps. There's no such thing as a rehabilitated terrorist. There's no such thing as a rehabilitated child molester. A pervert. Speaking of perverts, it looks like Mr. Bergdahl, old Taliban Bob, looks like he was a pervert. Yeah, he's driving his truck on his routes, and he was there was these twins. And he would always try to, text them, and he would always harass them. One time he was peeking through the window. He's supposed to be dropping off packages, and I guess he's peeking around the window. She's in the shower. Then he ran away. They called the cops. He tried saying this somehow. Went back and forth. Well, a couple of times they called the cops on him. He's a peeping Tom. He's a pervert. He had to do, community service, this and that. This story just doesn't stop. I mean, this Bergdahl story just gets creepier and creepier. And now his dad is a pervert. I mean, God damn it. But, I mean, these real rehabilitation camps, even in Afghanistan, you know, the prisoners that were had good behavior, they would, you know, try to rehabilitate them into civilian life and teach them. It's just like, no. No, these are people where, again, we've got to set an example. I know we're a civilized people. But if we're going to be civilized, we got to get the uncivilized out. That's what I'm saying. Does it call for maybe some extreme measures in certain situations? Okay. All right. Yeah, it does. They're at war with us. You don't have to believe we're at war with them, but they are definitely at war with us. So if we don't pick up the sticks and start hitting them back, and I mean hit them, we need an all-out blitz. It's the only way we're going to end this. This whole damn radical Islam movement needs to be an all-out blitz, a worldwide blitz. We know where they are. We've got cameras on every square inch of this frickin' earth. We can find them. And we bomb them, and we bomb them, and we bomb them, and we bomb them. And we keep going until not one of them is left. We let the rest of the world know, oh, you want to be a Taliban? Oh, you want to be a terrorist, do you now? Well, you're not going to last very long, because we're going to find you and we're going to kill you. So that's about all the time that we have tonight. I was going to get into a whole bunch of other stuff, but again, I never shut up and we never get into this stuff. But we'll get into it tomorrow because there's a lot to get into. Anthony Weiner, how about this? He's got more Twitter problems now. This, God almighty, this creep, Anthony Weiner. This guy is, he's another freak. Well, he tweeted something about this, it's a sex machine. Tinder, I guess that's the name of it, Tinder, T-I-N-D-E-R. Tinder will now be the ultimate sex machine. And, evidently, Anthony Weiner clicked on there that he liked it or that was his favorite. So the next day, he tweets then, okay, to recap my day, I accidentally hit the star thingy on my at Vox.com. Sorry about Tinder. Sorry. So he was on here. I accidentally hit the star thingy like he did the last time. It wasn't supposed to go out public. It was supposed to be this, and it wasn't my fault. I accidentally... This guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's got all these accidents every time he gets to a damn cell phone. He can't tweet. He can't email. He can't send a picture. It's not his fault. He knows exactly what the hell he's doing. He's pushing the buttons on purpose. He's doing it. Well, then he realized that he shouldn't have done that. I put a favorite of a certain machine that does, I don't know, the ultimate sex machine. This guy's still doing it. He's still sending perverted texts to little girls. This guy's never going to stop. Terrorists never stop. Perverts never stop. They're never going to stop. There's only one way to stop them, and that's so then he even makes matters even worse. After he tries to, you know, play it off, oh, yeah, I accidentally pushed the star thingy. Yeah, we believe you, Mr. Weiner. Yeah, we believe you. We believe you accidentally pushed that this sex machine is one of your favorites. That was a mistake. Okay, so then he tweets this. In related news, I did buy 1,000 shares of Tinder stock. So he just makes it worse by telling you that he just bought $1,000 worth of this sext machine, I guess. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what the hell it is. It doesn't matter. But Anthony Weiner is a pervert. Taliban Bob is a pervert. Bill Clinton is a pervert. And speaking of Bill Clinton, his daughter, $600,000 a year simply because she's a Clinton. I didn't even know she was still being, I didn't even know she was still working at NBC. I mean, what the hell? I mean, what is it? Chelsea's another one that has no accomplishments. But yeah, she's getting paid $600,000 a year to have a 2-minute deal, I guess, a report. I don't know if she's still there or not. I don't know. I don't watch NBC. I don't watch Chelsea Clinton. She's a big fat nothing burger like her mom. Even her old man's a nothing burger. Bill Clinton was a nothing burger. He didn't do any of the work, but he was right there to take all the credit. He was good at that. So, anyway, we're running out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening in the chat room, everybody on their smartphones. Everybody out there is going to download. We'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.